Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. I've been in a series of messages and simply entitled The Questions God Asks Us. I've just been going through, started in Genesis, I've been going through looking at pulling out questions that God asks. And actually, it's, I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed it. It's been kind of fun to consider those questions, to take them singularly and consider their implications. And remember from the beginning we said that what's important about these is not just that God asked this question of an individual in history, but the questions reveal something to us about God. These are questions that are universal and require us to consider what does God mean by that question? Because obviously he's not asking the question because he doesn't know, right? He knows. He knows these things. He's asking the question because it becomes a teachable moment for you and I. And this question maybe is one of the most interesting of all of them. But God would ask, what do you want? Imagine this morning that God was to ask you, say, what do you want? In it, you name it, anything, carte blanche. What would you ask for? This is not a empty exercise. There's biblical precedent to it. In fact, frequently we'll hear even Jesus say, as he's going, he says to his disciples, he says, it is good for you that I'm going to the Father because you can ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. That's not an empty statement or promise by the Lord. What's empty about it is we don't understand it and we don't know how to respond to it. I think many people in our day are seeking this opportunity that you have. You know that? Isn't that why? Isn't that what motivates people to go out and buy lottery tickets and go to the casino? Because they believe that if they could, you know, just hit it big and if they just had all this money, then they could have what they want. What do you want? I know that's not an easy question to answer. I'm asking you to consider it this morning. And as we do, as your pastor, my desire, my prayer for you is that you would seek the very best that God has. That you would come to know His best for you. My heart really reflects Paul's prayer. In Philippians 1, verse 9, he prays, he says, I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul's prayer for the Philippians was that they would recognize, that they would seek what was superior, God's very best. So I think looking at this passage where God poses the question to Solomon, it can be insightful for us. Because Solomon gets it right. He asks for the right thing. Let's consider it this morning. 1 Kings chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 4. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because it was the most high place. And he burnt 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask whatever I should give to you. And Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and integrity. You've continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Lord my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people and you have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. Let's pause here and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Father, we come this morning desiring to know and to seek the very best. Lord, often we run after, we go breathless after things that are empty and meaningless, that are temporal and worldly. And Lord, we miss the very best. Show us today, show us from Your servant, show us from Your Word, how our heart needs to be focused on You. Teach us these truths, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the very beginning, this is the very beginning of Solomon's reign, where he takes the throne from his father David. And God poses this question, to ask whatever it is you want, and I will give to you. What do you want? How would you, if you were in Solomon's place, how would you respond to that question? Indeed, Solomon was a young man. He has big shoes to fill. David had been a great king. He has a big task ahead of him, uniting this kingdom that is pretty spread out, building the temple to God, serving and judging the people. These were concerns that were heavy on his heart. And certainly they were on his heart as he goes and worships God, as he goes to the high place and he offers these burnt offerings. Because remember, there isn't a temple yet. And I'm certain these were heavy things. Just as I'm certain as I stand before you this morning that many of you have heavy burdens on your heart today. Big decisions that are just in front of you. And you come to God with those concerns, and you come to Him with those burdens. And God responds, what do you want? Where does your mind go? We do have a pretty long list of wants, most of us. We're honest about it. Long list of wants. Now, isn't it strange that we live in a land of plenty? Yet we have more wants than anybody else. You know what I mean? And all you have to do is look there at the checkout counter when you're at the grocery store. You'll see magazines like this. I brought one of them here just to show you. All right, you see those kind of magazines now. It's just interesting to look at the headliners of the magazine. All right, weight loss, thicker hair. Sudden wealth. Happiness is within your reach, it says. Fat just falls off. Say bye-bye to stress. And then you can't help it. Yeah, I know this is a bad picture for you to see, but up there in the left-hand corner, all this weight loss stuff, and then there's this double chocolate cherry cake. I mean, what more could you want, right? I mean, they know. My point is, they know what you want. But Solomon's response is none of these things, none of these temporal wants. And it reveals an important request of the Lord. And it indicates four things that I want you to discover. Listen to Solomon. I mean, what Solomon asks of God reveals that he understands that what needs to happen to me. I want you to see Solomon's request because it's spoken, first of all, it's spoken in humility. I mean, real humility. Here he is. He's the king now. He is on the throne. He has wealth and power. Yet, as he comes before God, he says, I'm like a little child. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the skills. I can't do this. Now, he wasn't a little child. He was quite likely in his mid to later 20s. And most of us, as young men in our 20s, we think we know it all. I mean, just honestly. It's not till you get to your 40s that you realize you don't know anything. But in your 20s, you think you know it all. But Solomon doesn't have that. You know, he recognizes he doesn't have it. And he comes before God and says, I don't have what I need. And I want to remind you that in Christ, that's the right attitude. The Bible teaches us that God rejects the proud and gives grace to the humble. I mean, God wants to give you, He wants to give you the resources you need. He wants to strengthen you that you might serve Him in victory. But you have to come for His strength, not in your own strength. And Solomon seems to understand that. As he comes to God in humility, he recognizes that what needs to happen to me. See, I think we tend to think that the things that are holding us back from experiencing the best in life, the limiting factors, we think are other people. We think that if God would just change those folks, if only my wife were more, you can fill in the blank. I'm not going there. If only my husband were more loving. If only my children were more respectful. If only my boss recognized how valuable I really am. If only my circumstances could be changed, then I would experience the very best in life. We tend to think it's on the outside. It's other people. But Solomon doesn't ask God to change others. Solomon doesn't ask God to take care of his enemies, because you can be sure Solomon had enemies. He had brothers that thought they should have the throne. He had enemies, neighbors, where David had conquered lands all around, and they all now, when there's a change of leadership, are thinking, here's our opportunity. But Solomon doesn't ask for that. Matter of fact, when you read on down through the text a little bit farther, it says, and God was pleased with Solomon's answer because he did not ask for the death of his enemies. No, he said, what needs to happen to me. This, the beauty of this humble-hearted request is this. If you come to the point where you recognize that what needs to happen to you, then it can happen right now. There's nothing in the way but your own pride. There's nothing between you and knowing God's best than yielding yourself to Him. You know, see, if you think it's someone else, then you got to wait for someone else to change. If that's what's going to bring happiness into your life, or that's what's going to bring fulfillment to your life. But if you recognize it needs to happen to you, Solomon said, I am the one in need. God, I need you to do a work in me. Let me ask you just even to consider, as you come to worship like you did this morning, when you enter into this time, knowing that you're entering into the presence of the Lord, what's on your heart? What's your request of God? Are you saying, Lord, do a fresh work in me as you listen to the message, as you listen to God's word read? Or are you more likely to think, oh, I wish so-and-so were here to hear this. I certainly hope Miss Sourpuss over there is listening this morning. Or do you, like Solomon, understand that what needs to happen to me? If you're seeking God's best, then that's where it starts. Second, Solomon recognizes what needs to happen to me needs to happen on my inside. Not my outside. There's an honesty and a transparency in Solomon's words. I'm the one in need. God, I need you to change my heart. God, give me an obedient heart. So with this particular translation, sensitive heart is another translation, or listening heart. All of them try to get at that Hebrew statement that Solomon is desiring a heart that both hears recognizes what God's doing and then responds in obedience to it. It needs to happen to him. He recognizes he doesn't have that heart. It's obedient to the Lord's word, that's sensitive to what God's saying and responds immediately. What about you? What about the desire of your heart? Is it to hear from God? Is it to respond to him in obedience? There's wisdom in that. I mean, I think we tend to say, think, well, what Solomon asked of God for was wisdom. No, I think Solomon already kind of shown some wisdom here. What he asked for was a hearing heart. And because he sought to hear from God, see, that's where wisdom comes from. It comes from God. You need to be able to hear from him. What needs to happen needs to happen to me. What needs to happen to me needs to happen on the inside of me. God, give me an obedient heart. Solomon wanted a heart change. You see, heart change then means life change. Again, we tend to think that our change is in our circumstance. That's what we need. If we just had a different set of circumstances, if we just had a little bit more money, just a little nicer house, if we just had a better job, then things would be right in life. Solomon could have asked for outside change. He could have asked for great wealth. He could have asked for health. He could have asked for long life. I love the magazine said, you know, eat these foods and you'll look 10 years younger. I mean, we want that, right? Solomon could have asked for long life. But he didn't. He asked that God would change his heart. So he asked for these, for this, and it pleases God. He asked for what might benefit others. Notice that about the motivation in his asking. He's not asking God, oh God, make me wise so that I sound really smart when I'm sitting on the throne and I make really good decisions and I look wise and everybody considers me wise. I mean, you could ask for wisdom and do it quite selfishly. But no, he doesn't ask that. He asked that he might have the privilege, really, of sharing God's best with others. I think we, too, pray for wisdom, but again, it's so that we would say wise things, that we'd be considered smart or intelligent. I can give you the secret to that. If you want others to think that you're intelligent and smart and wise, keep your mouth shut. I mean, that little bit of advice comes right from Solomon, this guy right here. He said it in the Proverbs. Even a fool is considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. You open your mouth and there's no doubt, you know. Well, anyways, but I know people come to you with their problems, and as you listen to them, you're thinking, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to help them out of that situation? What am I going to tell them to help them through this dilemma? You want so much to have an answer. But consider what Solomon asked for. Lord, that I have a discerning heart, an obedient heart to you, that I can hear your word. I would remind you today that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are here today by his grace and in his grace for the purpose of pointing people to him. It's not that we have the answer, it is that he is the answer. And so when people come to us with their problems and we listen with compassion and love, we direct them to the answer in a personal way. May direct them to God's word, what he's showing you. And the best thing I know is to be able to say, you know what God's been showing me in his word. Let me just read this passage for you and let me help you understand what God's saying here. And then you take them to God in prayer. That's the wisest thing that you can do. Solomon desired to be able to lead people to God. We should ask God to change our heart so that we might be a better ambassador for Him. And then fourth, what Solomon desired and is revealed in his response is he was desiring the opportunity to glorify God. Listen to his words. So give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So Solomon, you know, in this recognizes that these are God's people, that they are God's joy and glory, and so he wants to do exactly what God desires of him. And so he asks that God would change his heart. Now, do you want to know God's best for your life? The supreme things of God? Let me just share some truths that I think we can draw from what we're seeing. From Solomon's life, we can say this. God did bless Solomon. God gave Solomon great opportunities. Under Solomon's reign, the kingdom of Israel is in its golden era. I mean, the borders of the nation are larger than any other time. The wealth of the nation is incalculable. It is seen as the world power. Other nations and leaders come to sit under Solomon that they might hear from him. Yet, we often miss God's best. God wants to give you his best. We often miss God's best because we ask with the wrong heart, the wrong motive. We come to God with the wrong thing in mind. James chapter 4, James is talking about this, about our access to God in prayer. And he says, you desire and you do not have. You want and you do not receive. You fight and you war and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you might spend it on your own evil desires. So James gets at the point. The reason oftentimes that our prayers are not answered is because we come to God with the wrong motive. We come to God with the wrong heart. We come to God with selfish intent. We just want our circumstances to be better. We're not really concerned about God's kingdom or what God's doing. We're not concerned about the opportunity for others. We're simply looking at our own self. Solomon shows us that humility is the key to experiencing God's best. To come to Him with the right heart, which is a humble heart, with a seeking heart that wants to know God and to know His best. Another truth is simply this, that when we dare to choose God's best, we're assured success. Friend, when you get to the point where all you want is all that God has for you, then you can have everything that you want. Think about that. God says to Solomon, because you have requested this and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself, or the death of your enemies, but you've asked for a hearing and discerning heart, that you would understand justice. I will therefore do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and hearing, understanding heart, so that there has never been anyone like you before, and never will there be again. And in addition, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that no man in any kingdom will be equal, your equal, during your entire life. If you walk in my ways and you keep my statutes and commands just as your father did, I will also give you long life. So God gives the very best to Solomon. Most of all, he gives him a discerning heart, an ability to hear from God and to respond to God. But here's another truth. If we had time to just go through Solomon's life, this truth would become more evident. But that is that the hour of God's greatest blessing may also be the hour of your greatest peril. What I mean by that is, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Do not forget that. There is an enemy that's real. And we cannot let up or let down. That humble heart has to be maintained that you might continue to hear from God. And when there is blessings and when there's great successes, that whatever it is that we might enjoy in this life, therein becomes a great challenge or peril. And that is that we tend to kind of rest on that. And we think, wow, I've arrived. And you haven't arrived until you arrive in the presence of the Lord. There is great challenges in this life that come on the heels of great success. Solomon would realize that in his life. He would struggle in his later days. When he had an opportunity to end out good, he really didn't, because he kind of rested on his accomplishments. Ecclesiastes is a real good indicator. I want to just read a couple of passages just to give you a taste of what Solomon wrote. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we read Solomon blessed, or God blessed Solomon's life. And then he writes in verse 12, I, the teacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I've applied my mind to seek and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. And God has given people this task, this miserable task to keep them occupied. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun and found that everything is futile and a pursuit of the wind. If you go on reading, you just see there's a darkness in Solomon's heart. He's no longer pursuing God. He comes to a point in chapter 4 where he makes this statement in verse 13, and you kind of hear the despair in his heart. He says, better to be a poor, wise youth than an old, foolish king who no longer pays attention to the warnings of God. Speaking of himself. You know, he remembers what it was like when he was young and he was trusting in God and holding on to God. He said, that was it. He says, right now, I'm just an old foolish king who no longer pays attention. But the word you need to take from Solomon is what he says at the end of that book. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he says, beyond these, my son, these are words of instruction. He says, beyond these words, my son, be warned. There's no end to making of many books, and much study just wearies the body. But when everything has been heard and read, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commands. Worship the Lord, obey Him. That's it. That's all it is. That's all that matters. That's what's going to enrich your life. Worship God and live by His Word. What do you want this morning? Do you want God's best? What I want you to understand is that is what's available to you. God's best is available. His best is new life, a changed heart, where He cleanses your life. He removes the guilt and sin by faith and by His redeeming work on the cross. And as He gives you that new life, it comes with rich, joy-filled, long-lasting purpose. And I promise you, it beats double chocolate cherry cake, hands down. No, seriously. The point is, seek what's right. The best things. Jesus said, I go to the Father that you might ask anything in my name. What are you asking of the Lord? You want to ask Him to change your heart. Friend, there's great joy in that place if you'd make yourself available to God. Would you join with me as we pray? Father, we come this morning thanking You that You love us and You've expressed that love in ways that we cannot calculate or understand. You've shown us that love through sending Your Son Jesus Christ to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, to purchase our redemption. Oh Lord, we come with thankful hearts. But Lord, we confess to You that often our mind and our passions have been pursuing other things, temporal things, things that won't last, things that won't matter. Oh Lord, we want to seek You. We confess that we've been seeking the wrong things. And so we ask that You would change our heart. And we come to You in repentance, asking Your Holy Spirit would do a fresh work in us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.